Thank God, it never loses power. Amen. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter number 5. And boy, I said, if you'll listen fast, I'll preach fast and get you out of here on time. We love the Wednesday morning services, love all the services, but I know that those who come, it's just a very special time. I'm just thankful for the Lord that we started doing that. It's been a real time. But I get through at 12. I mean, if I'm not through, I'll quit at 12. And so I did that. I just stopped right in the middle of the other week and stopped. And at 12, we went ahead and thanked the Lord and had asked God's blessing on the food, because we have lunch on Wednesdays for everybody. And when I got through, it just run through my mind. I said, I know what y'all think. You wish we had lunch every Sunday, and that way I'd quit at 12. And but I want to get you out on time. I'm so thankful for all of you here and for Miss Mary and Jerry visiting with us this morning. So many other guests and visitors. I want to get to meet every one of you. And if I miss you, please forgive me. But we're sure glad you're here, and our folk will make you welcome. Matthew chapter number 5. I'm going to do something now for a little while that I've never done before, and God's burdened my heart about this. I started doing the Lord's Prayer on Wednesday morning, and then I decided, well, I'm going to do the first part of chapter 5 on Wednesday evening. That's the Beatitudes. I brought two messages, kind of introductory messages, getting to the Beatitudes. There are 9 of them. If you go through and look at your Bible, there are 9 blessings, and 9's the number of the Holy Ghost, number of the fruit of the Spirit. But if you have your Bible open to chapter 5, if you have your Bible where the words of Jesus are written in red, if you'll notice chapter 5, 6, and 7 are all written in red except for the first two verses, introductory verses at the beginning and then the closing verses at the end. That means this is all one dialogue. It's what we call the Sermon on the Mount. One of our first stops when we went to Israel was the Mount of the Beatitudes. And just, you know, in my thinking, I thought, here's where he gave the Beatitudes. And then as the Lord burdened my heart to do the Lord's Prayer, and I began to go back and look, and I said, wait a minute. There was like when he went up on the mount, when he gave the tabernacle and the Ten Commandments, he gave everybody thinks, well, when he went up on the mount, he gave them the Ten Commandments, but he gave them all the directions for the tabernacle, for all the sacrifices too. Why? Because he knew they weren't going to be able to keep the commandments, because the Bible said the law was never given to give life. And by the deeds of the law, no flesh can be justified in his sight. And so the tabernacle pictured the sacrificial death of Christ. And so in my thinking, and that may be completely wrong, and whoever teaches New Testament in our Bible Institute, you believe what they say. But when he gave these Beatitudes, some people take the Bible and they categorize it as to Jewish and Gentile, church age or whatever. God's always been a God of grace. God's always been a God of mercy. And there's not going to be one person in eternity that's saved apart from the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about Old Testament, New Testament. They were looking forward and believing the promises of God. The Bible said that Abraham believed God and God counted it for righteousness for him, because God did beforehand preach the gospel to Abraham, the gospel. And so they were looking forward to the sacrificial death of the Lord. We look back at the sacrificial death and burial and resurrection of the Lord, and nobody would be in heaven. The Bible said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Nobody enters into heaven without the Son of God, without believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, they never saw him. Hey, I never saw him either. The Old Testament saints never saw him, but they believed. And I believe believing makes the difference. So now here's what I'm going to do. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and Wednesday morning, for the next little while, I want to deal with this Sermon on the Mount. And so this morning I'm skipping the Beatitudes. We're going to read just one passage of Scripture in here. Let me show you quickly in the book of Matthew. Look with me at just one verse. Look at verse number 13. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the salt of the earth. I want to preach to you this morning on ye or you are salt. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, the Holy Spirit of God, help me now. I pray, God, you'd give me clearness of thought. God, you know exactly what needs to be done and what needs to be said. Our Father, I have been so blessed, our Father, this morning by the congregation of singing, the songs that you laid on Brad's heart, the beautiful, Lord, music played to accompany us as we sang. God, for the specials already, Lord, what a blessing. I thank the Lord for the choir, God, the anointing on them this morning. Oh, how wonderful is our salvation. Lord, I thank you for touching Brother LaVon. Thank you for he and Miss Trudy, for their life of witness. God, for your anointing on and blessing them, giving them such servant's hearts. God, for blessing Brother LaVon with the gift of singing and preaching as well. God, I thank you for them. Thank you for the blessing this morning of the power of the blood that will never lose its power. Now, God, it doesn't take you long to do a miracle. And God, there may be a man or woman, a boy or girl in here this morning that doesn't know Christ. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost would speak that they'd know Christ. And I pray your people would be helped and blessed. And God, I'll thank you and praise you and give you glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You're the salt of the earth. When I was a boy growing up, and even now, I love salt. My wife fussed at me for a long time because I don't care where I was at, whatever they put in front of me, first thing I reached for was a salt shaker. I'd put salt on it. I grew up as a boy eating lemons, and I still love lemons. And I love to take and put salt. I'll put a little salt to eat it, a little salt water. My daddy used to say, boy, you're going to dry your blood up. I don't know why he said that, but it had something to do with the salt. It's going to dry your blood up. But the truth of the matter is, and I know right now they're saying you need to stay away from salt, this, that, and the other. But there's a reason God put it here. Salt is of great benefit. It's a valuable commodity. You remember the saying, he's not worth his salt? Well, there was a time in colonial days and other days when salt was so precious, it was a great commodity. And they'd say to a person, he's not worth his salt. It's not worth his salt. Or then it's a word of compliment. He's like the salt of the earth. He's like the, she's like the salt of the earth. Salt is a natural a compound that God has produced. Naturally, when we were in Israel, we went to the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is the lowest point on earth. And it's dead because it has such salinity, it's full of salt. I didn't get in it. But a lot of our folk on the tour got out in it. And it's so much salt in it, you can float in it. It'll hold you up. And you don't even have to swim. You can just float in that. But the Bible said there's coming a day that during the millennial reign of Christ, reign of Christ, the salt from that Dead Sea will be used to season the fish. So during the millennial reign of Christ, somebody's got to catch fish so we can put salt on them and eat them. And so I know what I'm volunteering for during the millennial reign of Christ. The bass are bad every day during that time, Terry, and they'll be every one of them will be a 15-pounder, amen? And I love fishing, but I want salt on my fish. That's the key thing, you know. I soak them in salt water, then I wash it off of them, and then the next day I'll go ahead and put salt and pepper on them, put them in the refrigerator, let them sit overnight, and the next day we cook them. I just like salt. But he says, you're the salt of the earth. I was doing a little research about the Salt Sea. They call it the Dead Sea or the Salt Sea. And it's amazing. And I found this in Jerusalem News. It's a Jewish article. It has nothing to do with Christianity. But the Bible says that there's coming a day that sea is going to change and there'll be fresh water there. Well, I've always pictured in mind during the river opens and this, that, and the other, that's what's going to do. But you know what? They have one of those diving bell things, and they've gone down to the lowest part of the Salt Sea, the Dead Sea, and they have discovered that in the lowest part of that, there is a freshwater current. You know, when you drill a well, you're not drilling in a pool of water. Under this earth's crust are rivers. They run. Water changes. That's why a well will dry up. Not that the hole dries up, but it shifts. And there is fresh water down in the bottom of the Dead Sea already, and there's fish life down there. Living below all that salt, there's some fish living in the bottom of the Dead Sea. But you're the salt of the earth. The Lord used so many things to picture us. Tonight, if you come back, I'm going to deal with the next verse. You're the light of the world. But what about this salt? I want you to, first of all, look at the figure of the salt. What does it mean when he says that we are salt? He said this in the book of Leviticus, chapter 2, verse 13, "Ye shall offer your offerings, ye shall offer salt with every offering." Every offering they gave in the Old Testament is not always repeated, but in Leviticus chapter 2 and verse 13, that salt is to be seasoning the sacrifice. And when you think about you and I as salt, it has to do with this idea that it was a precious commodity. It was a God-created commodity. You are precious in the eyes of the Lord. How much are you worth? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And because you're saved, if you know Christ today, you were precious. But you were precious before you ever received Him, because He died for you before you knew Him. You were precious to Him before the foundation of the world. You said, "Brother Billy," and folk in the internet audience, you don't have any idea, Brother Billy, what I've done, how wicked I've been. I have no idea. But I do know this. He knew everything about you before you was ever born. He knew every sin you'd ever commit. And what He did is He laid your sin on His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're redeemed not with corruptible things of silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so He purchased us. He loved us. And salt is precious. It is a precious commodity used worldwide. It is a natural or God-made, God-created commodity. And you and I are not children just by accident of God. The Bible said if you trust Christ, you're born again. And the Bible said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." Did you know that you are a brand new creation? If you get saved, not only did He fashion you, you're unique in your physical person. Nobody in the world like you. Nobody ever be like you. And you were precious before you were ever born. He died to purchase you. He gave His Son. You're worth His Son's blood. But also, you are a creation. That means that God fashioned you. And when you trust Christ, you're something you have never been. A creation is not a renovation. It is a new creation. The Bible said we have a new nature in us. And when you get saved, you don't join a church, you don't change your mind, you don't just flip a page. You become something you never have been. You are a brand new creation in Christ Jesus, and that person that He created in you has the divine nature in you, and you shall never perish because of who you are. You are salt. You are salt. But what about salt? The figure of salt. And what does it mean? Well, let me just talk to you about the function of salt for just a few minutes. Salt is a preservative. Salt, does anybody in here like country ham or salt ham? Raise your hand. Now, how many of you know it ain't good for you? But if you eat it, you get to go to heaven twice as fast. That ain't a bad deal. Amen. But I used to marvel at Uncle Carson, because I've seen things. I mean, you something dies, it don't take just no time for it to go to be gone. But my Uncle Carson lived across the dirt road in front of us, and we killed hogs together. The hogs was at his house. But that when we killed hogs, he'd get out there, and they just packed them hams in salt and put them in a little smokehouse. Now, some of them they smoke, but some of them they do what they call corn hams. They just pack them with salt and just pack them in salt. And I said, "That's going to rot." He said, "No, it won't." He said, "That salt's going to preserve it. It'll keep it." And did you know that you as salt in this earth are a preservative? Preservative? What do you mean by that? It means that you are you ever wondered, and as I stood in this, boy, it broke on my heart. It blessed me so. I can tell you exactly why God hadn't already destroyed America or the rest of this world. You know why? Because of you. You're salt, you're preservative. When He gets ready to bring judgment on this earth, you know what He's going to do? He's going to take the salt out. He's going to take you out. Let me tell you how real that is. You remember when Sodom and Gomorrah were so wicked? I mean, they were wicked. And they sent the messenger by Abraham and said that we're going to go destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. We're going to get Lot out. And Abraham pleaded with him, and he said, "Look, if there were 50 souls, 50 pieces of salt there, would you save it? He said, yeah. 40, 30, 20, 10. I'm talking about two nations, two cities that's going to be totally destroyed. But if he could have found six righteous people there, he said 10, but four of them got out. Three of them got out. One of them didn't get out. She turned to a pillar of salt. That's another story. But you understand, he would have spared those cities if there were just 10 salty people there. And a reason God hadn't judged America yet is because you're still here. We wonder, do we make a difference? Do we have an impact? We sure do. Because we are the preservative. You're the only thing in the sovereign purpose of God that's keeping this nation from being destroyed. You have a purpose. You're a preservative. But then also, salt is used to purge. Salt will draw out venom or poison. And that's why you're in the world. Can you imagine? And we know there's not a lot in Washington or Raleigh or anywhere else that are Christians. But if you think back to the founding days of this nation, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, everything is based on what they call Judeo-Christian principles. That is, godly principles. Now, how did that come about? It was because of godly people. There was salt there in those early Continental Congresses. There were those who would say, Ben Franklin won, I think. I can't remember exactly all the people, but he said, we have to begin with prayer because nothing happens without the purpose of a sovereign God. And in the founding of your nation, our nation, salt was present. And salt, it was used as a preservative, but also as a purgative. That means that it was to pull out poison. That's why we have laws in our country, just like God gave laws. That salt and the Christian principles that are there to keep people from committing rape, to warn people about murder and all those things. And it was because of Christian influence. Can you imagine what this country would be like today if every Christian was gone out of politics, out of the law enforcement, out of the EMS, if every Christian influence was gone? You think things have gone downhill in this last year? It wouldn't take 30 days for this nation to have just like wild animal beasts roaming our communities when there's no restraint. But one of these days, when the church is raptured out, he said, only he who now leadeth, that means the word hinder, Holy Spirit of God's here, the church is here. Right now, we're holding at bay that sin overtaking every part of man. And like the days of Noah, every thought, every imagine, only evil continually. But one of these days, very soon, he's going to take the Holy Spirit's influence away. He'll take him out of the way. And then Antichrist will rise. And it's going to be hell on earth when there's no salt and there's no influence of the Holy Spirit. Hell on earth. And if you're here this morning, you think things are bad now. If Jesus were to come in the next few moments and every piece of salt in this building, every saint that's in public office were gone, I'm going to tell you, it wouldn't be 30 days. This nation would be total chaos, murder, blood running in the streets, rape, everything you could ever imagine. Just the most horrible, hideous environment for 3 years. It's called so wicked. It's called the Great Tribulation. And if those days were not shortened, even the very elect would not be saved. During those days, it's awful. It's horrible because the salt that has been preserving and the salt that has been purging the sin and holding back the sin is going to be gone. That's your job. That's your influence. You ought to have influence in the community, influence in every phase of life. And you're here for that reason. You're here to be salt. Not only does it preserve, and not only does it purge and cleanse, but it purifies. Salt can purify. It'll heal. It'll kill disease. And so we're here to be a healer. We are here with a gospel message to heal and touch lives for Christ. I'm rushing through, but you get the idea. There's a reason God didn't take you to heaven. You're here to preserve. You're here to purify. You're here to purge sin out and to warn people about sin. Salt is good. But he goes on, he said, not only the figure of sin and the function of sin, but notice the failure of salt. He said, if salt has lost its seasoning or savor, it's good for nothing but be cast out underfoot. Let me tell you what he's talking about. Salt, you have seen it before. If you salt a ham or salt anything else, when it pulls all that pollution out and it intermingles with the salt. You don't want to put that on your eggs. You don't want to put it on nothing. And what happens is the salt, it will absorb things in its surrounding. And when it does, it will neutralize that salt and it will defile that salt. And what happens to me and you as salt is if we're in the world, but he said, they're not going to take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil. And what happens to us in this world as salt, if we're not careful, the things of the world will be drawn into us as salt. The thought life of the world, the morals of the world, the religion of the world. And when it does that, the salt loses its savor. It's not doing what it's supposed to do. And you and I cannot be what we ought to be for the Lord unless we are clean and pure. And that's why it's important that you and I present our bodies a living sacrifice. And he asked that those sacrifices be presented with salt. And we present our body a living sacrifice with salt. We present our life separated, pure, so we can be a preservative, so we can purify, so we can have influence. And I didn't even get to deal with the idea of its seasoning, but it makes life special to have believers around. You have a purpose. God left you here to be salt and light, and you need to do that for the glory of God. But now watch this. When that salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be cast out, trodden under foot of men. What did they do with it? They used it to kill. Salt that's lost its savor kills. They would use it like Roundup. They could put it down their path where they didn't want weeds growing. They'd throw that salt that was lost its savor and it will kill. And isn't it a sad thing that if you and I are Christians and we're not right with God, that our life doesn't bless, it kills? I think about people who got out of the will of God and they got things in their life. I mean, some of them started doing things they used to do in the world, and their life then was not blessing, it was killing. People looked at you and thought, man, this is the real deal. I want that. But what it did, it killed hope in them. It killed faith in them. And it brought death. And did you know that as a Christian, that you can bring death in your family and death in your community because you're unsavory, you've got mingled with the world and you got defiled by the world and you don't have the touch and the power of God on you. You don't have the joy of the Lord. You don't have the anointing of God, but you've backslid on God. You're not reading your Bible. You're not praying. And instead of blessing, you're being a burden. And instead of being a cure, you're becoming a curse. Instead of being a help, you become a hindrance. And it's good for nothing. Good for nothing Christians. Because they look like the world, act like the world. They have no touch of God on them. They have no burden. They have no compassion. That's why it's so important that we get right with God and stay right with God. Because that salt that's unsavory, it'd bring death. It brings death. He said, you're the salt of the world. It's important. He said, you've got a purpose here. And I made you, I fashioned you, I created you, you're precious, you purchased. And I'm going to use you for my glory. But don't lose your savor. Stay close to God. Get right with God. Live for God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I pray, God, the Holy Spirit right now. God, help us not to be failures as salt. God, help us not to, Lord, absorb all the pollution of the world. And I pray, God, the Holy Spirit, God would use us for your glory. Now, friends, while we are praying, I tried to share what the Lord wanted me to. No way I shared what God had given me through the week, just to highlight, basically. But can I say there are two elements that would cause us to become unsavory or unused. One of them is what I just told you was outside pollution. But the other one is isolation. He said that salt is to be salted. What's that mean? It means it's to be shaken out. It means that. But people have tended to isolate themselves from their community and from their friends. But you're salt. Salt has to be shaken. It has to be put out. It has to be out in the public. And if you don't, people have isolated themselves from the house of God, isolated themselves from worship, isolated themselves from service, and if the salt is not shaken and not put out where it's supposed to be, it's not effective. That's why he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so not only must we be clean, but we must obey our commission and go to where the salt's needed. Heavenly Father, again, I ask your blessing on your people this morning. And God, I'm trusting you that you've spoken. God, you know exactly what needs to be said. I think I've tried to obey you. And God, thank you, Lord, that you're here. God, there's some here this morning that know that they've lost their savoriness, that they're not as close to God as they used to be, that they don't have the influence that they ought to have. In fact, Lord, sometimes they're more of a hindrance than they are a blessing. People look at them and say they used to do this and used to do that, used to be on fire for God, and now they're not. Oh, God, help us not to lose our savor. Help us to be a blessing to people. And God, I pray, God, that, Lord, you do something. Lord, I'm thankful that you made a promise that, Lord, salt, when it loses its savor, is cast forth and trodden under the foot of men. But God, you've got something better for us. You said if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, I'm glad that we can come if we know we're not where we ought to be and confess it and ask you to forgive us. You'll purge us, and God, you'll refill us and reuse us for your glory. And God, I ask you to do that now. God, if there's a lost man, a woman, boy, a girl in this building, I pray, Father, they know Christ. I pray, God, they'd be born again by the grace of God. You love them. You were precious, and they were precious in your sight. You purchased them with your own blood, and now you present to them a flawless gospel that's full and free if they would but receive it. Now, friends, while we are praying, right where you are in the media audience in this building, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You must receive it. There must come a time in your life, like he said to Nicodemus, that you're born again. How does that happen? It's when you turn in faith from your sin and turn to the Savior, and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that he died, was buried, rose again, he paid your sin debt, he's alive now. And when you open your heart and say, oh God, I believe that Jesus died for my sin, he was buried, rose again, I receive him now as my Savior. You call upon the name of the Lord. God, I pray, God, they'd do that. They'd call on you right now. And I pray, God, that they would do it. God, help them to believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, for the Christians here, I pray, God, that you put your finger on something in their life where they're not right. And God, bring them under Holy Ghost conviction. And God, I pray that they'll get right with you and have the joy of the Lord, the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God, and be a salt that you want them to be. And I'll thank you. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes are closed this morning. And as Brother Brad sings a verse or two, a song, I'll not keep you long this morning. But I invite you to take a step right now. Come get around this old-fashioned altar. Maybe you're here and you know the Lord, but you say, God, I really want to be salt. God, I want to have influence. I want to be used of God. I want to be a blessing to my family and to my community, to my church and to my nation. God, you put me here for a reason. And God, I want to be, Lord, be used. I want to be in your perfect will. Please don't let me, Lord, live in isolation. Don't let me get polluted by my surroundings. God, help me to keep my savorness and God be a witness for Christ, filling me with the Holy Spirit of God. Oh God, help them do that now. And I'll thank you in Jesus' name. While we're in an attitude of prayer and praying, many are coming around the altar right now. I invite you to come. If you're not saved, we sure would love to have the opportunity to show you how to be saved.